there, ho there, it is the Karellcast. I am Karell, so very glad that you are joining me on this Wednesday, September 15th. We have new Apple Watches, by the way. You all always see me check my Apple Watch, and there's new ones coming out, and I may get it, actually. This one's a season five, yeah. I'm so into television. This one's a series five. I'm sorry, I'm adjusting the mic. I'm like one of these divas. Like, I never have the mic at the right place. And I spend 10 minutes before the show putting it in the right place, and then it never is the right place. But where are you going? Where are you running to? She hates when I'm out here doing this. She's afraid something's going to fall. That's Ember, who just breezed through the set here. All right. I have never been so happy for a bloodbath in my entire life. But yesterday there was a bloodletting in California, and the GOP and Larry Elder were the recipients. And no matter how they try to spin it, it was basically a 70% for Gavin Newsom, 30% or less for Larry Elder. Now, yes, 45% of the people that answered if Gavin Newsom is to be replaced, who should he be replaced with? 45% of those people answered Larry Elder, but he only got 26% of the vote, and the entire recall only got 36% of the vote. So 36%, 45% of 36%. See what I mean? It's today's a numbers day, by the day. Your head might explode. And we have the director, the creator of the Framing Britney Spears documentary, Samantha Stark from the New York Times. New York Times journalist is going to be here in her full Dorian acceptance interview for the Dorian TV Toast 2021, available for you to watch for free at Planet Out TV on YouTube, at here.tv, or at dorianstoast.com, dorianstoast.com, free to watch. In that award show, we interviewed the winners and we let them speak, which makes us different than every other award show. We've been doing it first and now they're all jumping on board. Truly, but we did it first. And so I had to cut those down for the show. So I wanted, with Gallica's permission, to show you the entire interviews of the people that are of our winners. So today is the Framing Britney Spears. And that's huge because she did get the conservatorship is being revoked. This documentary happened. All of a sudden she was in the news again and bam, now there's no. So this documentary really got Britney out of that conservatorship. So we have the director and creator of that coming up here in just a few seconds. But before that, and we'll talk about how Britney kind of didn't like the documentary and what the director feels about that. So now, though, let's talk about my friend. And he is my friend, so I am biased. He has been on one of the shows I have produced, the Dorian's TV Toast or Film Toast 2021. You can watch that as well online at Reverie. So anyway, so he's or at dorianstoast.com. It's at both places. And for those of you that, you know, Free Speech TV is going to air the TV Toast first week of October. So, and it's going to be on Tubi, T-U-B-I, and maybe going to Amazon. So, woohoo! None of that means I'm making a cent, by the way. No money in all of that, but whatever. So, anyway, bloodbath in California yesterday. My friend Gavin Newsom taking just a commanding lead and pounding the hell out of the GOP. But the media, they're just not happy about it, okay? They still want to say, oh, this could mean trouble for Democrats in the regular election. Or that the media has turned negative on everybody and everything, and you need to tune it out. Even MSNBC, CNN, all they do is find the bad in everything now, and they give voice to people. For instance, it is not up for a candidate to say whether they accept the results of an election. There is not a debate there, okay? It's like going in for an audition and them calling you back and saying, we're sorry you didn't get the job. And you say, oh, no, I got the job. I'm challenging the results of the audition. I want to speak to the producers. I want a full audit of everybody at the audition. No, I'm going to get the part. That's ridiculous. That's like you going for a job interview and them turning you down and you saying, no, I'm going to work there and I challenge you. This is how ridiculous the GOP has become. Okay, so I am now trolling everybody with a hashtag called Fix Your Headline. And I just bought the website, the web address, fixyourheadline.com for $9. And I'm going to start putting a Twitter feed there of all the posts that say Fix Your Headline. Because I have been rewriting the headlines for people. Like in Gavin Newsom, where it says, is Larry Elder now becoming the new voice of the GOP in California? And my headline for that is, irrelevant, bigoted talk show host to lead even more irrelevant party. because that's the truth. Okay? Headlines don't say the truth anymore. And so I'm doing Fix Your Headlines on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, at Really Carell, you'll see that I do a hashtag, Fix Your Headline. And I started that hashtag about a year ago, and now it's catching on. And I just paid $9 for the website. Fix Your Headline. Okay? I know I turned my phone off for a reason. Do you hear all that noise? I hate when people are doing interviews and all of a sudden you hear all their gadgets. I never had my phone turned on for that reason, and now it was, and I'm hearing the interview. So Gavin Newsom won. And here in Las Vegas news, the NAB convention, National Association of Broadcasters, National Association of Broadcasters, enunciate. They just canceled because of COVID. COVID's busting out all over. Delta's brimming to the rim. It is. COVID's busting out all over. And so they're like, nah, we're canceling NAB. Meanwhile, people like the Raiders are packing 60,000 people into the stadium because they don't care if their fans die. Oh, yes, we do. We said they all had to be vaccinated. We even gave out vaccines that day, which did nothing for immunity that day. So you don't care if your fans die. You're selfish and you're greedy. Okay? Any sports franchise, oh, but the game's outside. No, you should still be playing virtually. And I don't care about the 12-year-olds that still want to go to the game. And I don't care if those 12-year-olds are 50 or 60 or 40. You have no business being at a sporting event in the middle of the frickin' pandemic. None. You don't think I want to go to a concert? You don't think I want to go out here in Vegas and see Lady Gaga? You don't think I used to live at concerts. That was my job. Concerts, plays, all of it. You don't think for the last 4 years I have missed being with you? It has been 4 years since I've done a live gig, and I want to get back. I want to go to San Jose. I want to go to Humboldt and see if anyone still listens up there. I want to go to Canada, where I'm in the top 200 of podcasts. I want to get out and entertain, child. I want to talk to you. I want to laugh with you. I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. But right now, I ain't doing it in person because I ain't risking your life to see me. Okay? It's not worth it. Trust me. Seeing me is not worth dying for. Okay? Maybe a small injury, but not worth dying for. So no, not having it. But they're just greedy hoes, just warmongers. Warmongers, no, profiteers, whatever. They greedy. Casinos be greedy. They're making more money now than they were prior to the pandemic, and people are getting sick. Do they care? Hell to the no. So before we go to Samantha and this great interview about Framing Britney Spears, the documentary available on Hulu, the New York Times present Framing Britney Spears, I want to leave you with some numbers about something I'm very excited about. Although I need about $2,000. I need $2,000 right now to launch some things, but I'm going to try to find it, sponsors, something. Anyway, you know I've been wanting to do this book, The Planted Host, and all of that. Well, I've really refined it to planet-based eating because it's no longer about vegan. It's no longer about vegetarian. It's about what will the planet sustain. It's no longer about what we want. You know, when you move to a foreign place or a foreign planet like Mars, you will eat and you will grow on that planet what you're able to, okay? Or anywhere, any part of the world. You grow the crops, you do the farming that the area will sustain. Well, how many eggs do you think the world eats? All right, put a number in your head right now. How many eggs per year do you think the world eats? Put that number in your head. 10 million, 100 million, 500 million, a billion, 8 billion. How many eggs do you think the world eats? Guess what? 1.2 trillion with a T annually. For every American, there are 276 eggs readily available, meaning per person. For the world, that number is 172. So 8 billion people times 172, that gives you trillions of eggs. Trillions. Every day, 2 billion pounds of fish and seafood is pulled out of the ocean. Every day, 2 billion pounds. Every day, 650,000 cows are slaughtered. Every day, over 1.5 million chickens are killed. Every single day. The world chicken population is 4 chickens for every human, or 32 billion chickens. The world can't sustain this. That's too many animals being raised for one thing, taking up too many resources. Too much land, too much water, too much methane being released, the factory farms, all of it. So I don't want to hear about anything about the environment except changing our diet. That is the first and foremost thing that needs to be done. Not solar, not electric cars, changing our diet, period. So if you don't become a planet-based eater, then you are betraying science and the planet. It's time I just talk to you in the terms that you need to hear. If you don't make 80% of your diet plant-based, okay, 80%, you can have 20% of your diet having meat and dairy. That means out of 3 meals a day, 90 meals a month, out of those 90 meals, 18 can have meat or dairy. Okay, 18 out of the 90. The other 72 must have, I can do math, can I? Must have plant-based only. So out of 90 meals a month, you get 18 with meat and dairy. The rest have to be plant-based or the planet is going to die. Period. End of story. No debate. No nothing. We do not, I don't ascribe to the, oh, there's two sides. No, this is the fact. If you don't believe me, go look it up yourself. I've done the research. 80% of the world must eat 80% less meat and dairy, or else all global warming things that we do fail. Fail. Not just, but they fail. So I am going to call everybody I know to try to raise a ton of money, a ton, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm going to ask Gavin Newsom about getting it as a state, you know, wide thing. Planet-based eating has got to be the wave. It has to be what we all start doing. Eating for the planet, not for ourselves. We've been selfish long enough. You either eat for the planet or you die on that planet. And 73% of all people in the hospital for COVID are obese or overweight. And if we became planet-based eaters, that would go way down too. Obesity rates would drop. Diabetes rates would drop. All of these things would drop. This, I'm tired of trying to convince you. These are facts. Deal with it. If you are sick, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you are obese and you don't become a planet-based eater along with me, then you're trying to die. So you're trying to die and kill the planet? See, it goes hand in hand now. You live as a healthy human and the planet gets healthier. Or you live as an unhealthy human and the planet dies. It is that freaking simple. So I'm not trying to pitch you. I'm telling you. You must. The numbers are staggering about how much murder goes on every day for food that we cannot sustain. We do not have the resources. It's over. It's not in 5 years. It's now. It's over now. All this murder must stop so we can save our planet. It's just that simple. So I am so excited about planet-based eating. And I'm going to be focusing the show a lot on that in the future. We're going to still have these interviews that we do, like Samantha Stark coming up right now from New York Times. But I'm telling you, it is my mission to get you to become a planet-based eater. Out of 90 meals a month, 18 can have meat and dairy. Oh, the other 72 must be all plant-based. Period. Just end of story. And so I'm going to tell you how to do that. Okay, or continue to, and to continue to motivate you to make those changes. I had let up. I'm tired of it. I am tired of it being 100. Today it's going to be 102. It's supposed to be 90 right now. It's going to be 102. California burning up. No water. Oceans rising. Cities going underwater. You know, I'm sick of sitting around and not doing anything. I need you to come with me and become a planet-based eater. You'll be healthier, you'll be happier, and guess what? It's so easy to do, all right? All right, we're going to go to Samantha here, talk about Framing Britney Spears, the documentary that changed everything for Brit, who is now engaged and left Instagram, which is now being sued or looked into by the Justice Department, Instagram, because Facebook, which owns it, has had data that shows it basically destroys teenage girls' lives. And we'll be talking about this on Friday, about how it does that. but they've known about their negative effect on teenage girls, and they've done nothing to prevent to protect those girls. So we'll be talking about that. Meanwhile, I am Karell. You be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody. And I would ask that you follow me at Twitter and Instagram, at Really Karell. I don't care who you are. Go follow me. Hi, Canada. Mwah. One, number 173 on the Canadian Podcast Apple list today. Mwah. And 184 in the United States. I'm in the top 200 in two countries. I love you all. I'm going to get you all healthy. Now that California's problem is solved, we're going to keep kicking asses in elections. We're going to throw this GOP out. We are going to get ourselves and our planet healthy, and we are going to get back to life and back to reality, because I have had enough of all this other stuff. Now let's go. Don't forget to follow me at Really Karell. And if you could give $5 a month at Patreon, patreon.com/Karell, K-A-R-E-L. Any of you wanting to make donations to the show that aren't through Patreon, just email contact@reallykarell.com, and I will send you the PayPal, or just go to paypal.me/reallykarell, and you can make donations there as well. By the way, the book has changed. It's all about plant-based eating. I am going to be having copies probably in the next 90 days to 120 days through BookBaby. Once I finish writing it and photographing it, that'll take 30 days and then 60 days production. They'll be offered at a horribly expensive price, like $40 or $50 each at first, because it'll be individually printed for you. But then when we get a publisher, and we will, it'll go down. So that's happening. Planet-based eating is the thing, baby. You're going to hear about it here. Meanwhile, let's talk Brit, and I'll see you on Friday.
It is so neat that you guys made those, like the canvases. I started crying when I saw it.
Oh my God. You know, a couple of years ago when I started doing the awards for John, he was giving out cue cards. And I said, well, it's called the Dorian Award. And he's like, yes. And I said, after the picture of Dorian Gray, the book, right? And he's like, yes. And I said, well, then we have to send them a portrait. It's like, oh, there's... God. I mean, you know, either we send them a portrait or we're doomed.
Yeah.
So we did.
Beautiful. And that picture Felicia Culotta took, who is the sunlight of the documentary.
And Jason Young, an artist in Palm Springs, does these. And Jason's a great story. He was given 5 years to live 8 years ago. And he moved to Palm Springs basically to die, which I wasn't having any of. Because of the new biologics, the Keytruda drug, he has no more lesions, no more anything, and he's in remission. So, he's the best graphic artist I know. So I called him up and said, I need you to do these wonderful things to stars. And he's like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Gorgeous.
Here we go. All right. And the winner of this year's Dorian for Best Documentary goes to Samantha Stark for Framing Britney Spears, and she is here with us now. Congratulations, Samantha.
Thank you. So thrilled.
Let's talk about the documentary. A question just popped into my mind. But first of all, why? It's your first documentary feature. Why did you choose, you got to be passionate about something you're making a movie about. Why did you choose Britney Spears as your first feature-length exposition for the New York Times?
Yeah, so I work for the New York Times, and we have this series, and we work collaboratively with a lot of people in the newsroom. So it was actually Liz Day's idea. She appears in the film. And the original idea was to look back at media coverage of Britney Spears, post Me Too, and see how outrageous and misogynistic it was. And so I wanted to do that because that spoke to me. And then when we started researching for the film, we realized she was in this conservatorship. And then, it just went from there. I went to the first thing that I did was I wanted to know why people loved Britney Spears. So I talked.
Were you a fan?
I didn't know that much about her, honestly. So I think actually my perspective of coming at it fresh really helped, because there were so many, there's this narrative of her for years, like Britney went crazy and she needs protection and she's totally happy with this conservatorship. It's fine. And I started talking to the fans, and that changed so much. Do you want to hear about that?
I'd love to. You know, one of the people I follow on Instagram, and I don't know why, is Chris Crocker, who this morning, of course, is having problems with his grandparents having COVID. But he, of course, is the Leave Britney Alone person, who sort of kickstarted, I guess, this whole movement in a way, because he sort of brought it to. But he, of course, was a fan. So it has been the fans that have driven this. So what was your interaction with the fans?
Oh, absolutely. So I started, you know, speaking with a lot of the people who were leading the protests outside the courthouse, the Free Britney movement. And so many people just wrote them off as conspiracy theorists and made fun of them in a similar way that people made fun of Britney and wrote her off, actually. But when I started talking to people and going outside the courthouse, I realized that they were people who were totally different than who I thought it was going to be. I thought maybe it would be people who looked like Britney Spears or, you know, teenagers or something. And it was actually this whole group of queer people, people who were bullied as kids, people living with mental illness. And it was like so surprising to me because it was actually like, you know, Britney was bullied for her sexuality as a young person and told who she had to be all the time, over and over again, bullied and humiliated for mental health issues. And so many queer people have the same experience, right? We were humiliated and shamed as teenagers for our sexuality. And, you know, a lot of us have mental health issues because of that or not because of that, substance abuse issues. And there, and it was like really beautiful to see all these people coming out and saying, wait a minute, Britney shouldn't be locked up in this situation. She shouldn't have all of her rights taken away. And they really had this gut feeling because it was before all these court filings started coming out and before we knew Britney really wanted out of this. And they just had this, you know, feeling in their heart, like, this is wrong. I have to do something about it.
Could a man have made this documentary?
You know, I think...
Because I'll tell you, no, a man could not have. But I want to hear what you have to say about it.
I don't think so either. I mean, you know, when we first started researching this, I realized like so many people who wrote about Britney and made films and TV specials about Britney were men. Like everybody was a man, it seemed like, almost everybody. And I also realized that the, you know, the main people who were often interviewed about her were men as well. And so one of the first things that we wanted to do was just say, what would happen if we made this from a woman's perspective? What would happen if the decision makers were women, the crew were women, and the people we interviewed were women? And that simple choice, I think, like totally revolutionized the film because it was, you know, it was hard to find women at first. We had a spreadsheet of over 1,000 names. So many people were scared to talk about Britney. And so many of the like main executives at the music industry and stuff like that were men. But once we started finding the women to talk to, the entire perspective, our entire perspective and the entire perspective of the film on Britney Spears changed.
Now, I've been on both sides of the velvet rope for a very long time. In fact, they're making a documentary about me. I'm not sure I want to see it. But that being said, I've known my entire life since I was 16 has been spent in Hollywood and around Hollywood people, either interviewing them or being one of them. And I've known so many bat crap crazy guys. I mean, male celebrities that are freaking certifiable. And yet they're running around with their own estates, handling their own business, making their own decisions, being as crazy as can be. Is this happening to Britney Spears because she's a woman?
You know, I think a lot of it has to, you know, from my perspective, yes. I mean, I think it was really valuable to look at all this past media coverage of her ever since she was a teenager and came out and how paternalistic it was and misogynistic. It was totally okay to humiliate her. It was totally okay to treat her as dumb and somebody who didn't have real things to say. There was this trend that went on looking at all the footage where, you know, even very prominent news people like Diane Sawyer and Matt Lauer, they would take these humiliating headlines of Britney. Britney Spears is a bad mom. Britney Spears is crazy. And they would put them on these giant screens and have her respond to them. They'd be like, what do you say to this? Everyone thinks you're a bad mom. And it was so, this idea of confronting someone with these like horrible bullying things.
Everyone says you're a horrible person. How do you respond?
I just feel like that wouldn't happen to a man. And I also feel like since it was okay to treat her that way and belittle her and not listen to what she was saying, I feel like it made it okay for the conservatorship not to be questioned. This idea that her dad needed to take care of her.
Let's talk about the timing. Your documentary came out right when a Netflix movie about conservatorships that everybody was talking about came out. And suddenly your documentary, Framing Britney Spears, had major celebrities tripping over themselves to apologize to Britney Spears. How do you feel about that? The Justin Timberlake apologizing, the Jay Leno apologizing, the late night host, I believe a lot of them did, Stephen Colbert, many of them apologized for the way they treated Britney Spears. That was directly because of your documentary. But then Britney actually weighed in and said that she appreciates the doc. Now, I might get this wrong, and please correct me. She appreciates the documentary, but she also felt that it was kind of exploitative too. I don't think she saw the line. I think she's so used to everyone wanting a piece of her that she didn't understand it was real journalism. And it was real journalism. It wasn't an Access Hollywood piece. Not that that isn't journalism, but I mean that this was real New York Times, you know, journalism. How do you feel now post that we've had a lot of media? She's back in court about the conservatorship. Madonna sent her lawyers. Celebrities are rallying around her now. The public is rallying around her now. Boy George just did a song, Free Britney. So how do you feel as the impetus for this new movement?
I did not know Boy George just did a song. I have to find it. But okay, so for your second question, you know, there was a post posted to Britney's Instagram. I always say like in a statement posted to Britney's Instagram, because it's very unlikely that Britney totally controls her Instagram. She has been kept in this bubble for 13 years where she is legally by the court allowed to, her conservators are allowed to stop every communication she has with every person except for this one court appointed attorney who recently resigned. So to me that it would be unlikely if she had a bullhorn to the world with her Instagram, but you know, even if she did write this, you know, the caption said, I don't like the way the documentary portrayed me. I don't want to bring up this humiliation again. And I understand that. I mean, we had a lot of back and forth, a lot of back and forth about the ethical issues of showing all this stuff and re-traumatizing Britney. I was thinking about how we could re-traumatize Britney as little as possible, actually, when we were making this and her family. Unfortunately
for you, though, the facts are pretty, just the facts are pretty traumatized.
Exactly. You know. And so we, you know, we wanted to reframe these pictures. Everyone always, it's like burned in the subconscious of the world, right? So I did a survey of everybody I knew and said, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Britney Spears? And almost everybody said when she shaved her head. And so it really felt like we had to show that and give context to it, because that's what we could do as the New York Times that no one had done. Like people just thought, ah, oh, Britney went crazy. She can't make her own decisions. But we're saying she was going through this custody battle. Her mom says she thinks she was suffering from postpartum depression. She was literally having men stalk her everywhere she went. She was trapped in her home, and she had people humiliating her and framing her in this way that everybody believed. And so I think it was really important for the world to see those images to reframe them. We had hours and hours and hours and hours of footage of people humiliating Britney Spears. And so we tried to pick, you know, the few examples that were the most representative so that we could reframe them. But like,
well, I really believe that the Ed McMahon mm-hmm. and Justin Timberlake segments mm-hmm. frame it beautifully, because here you have Ed McMahon, who should know better, you know, talking to what, a 9-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old. Do you have a boyfriend? Do you, you know, it's like, are you getting laid? It's like, she's 10, Ed. And then you have Justin, JT, blatantly lying. you know, and then bragging, laughing on air about deflowering her, which he may or may not have done, you know, and so much so that he even came out to apologize. But I think that those two things, as for the shaving the head, you know, I heard a long time ago she did that because she was smart, not crazy. They were going to do a hair sample the next day at the court for custody to see if she had any drugs. So she just shaved off all her hair. I thought that ain't crazy.
It's totally unclear the reasoning behind it, but I shaved my head when I was in my 20s and I'm making it
Hello, Mohawk. I'm 58.
I think the umbrella incident, reframing that was really important because when you watch the video of it, it lasts 2 seconds. She doesn't even hit the guy. She hits his car. He's following her around at one of the most vulnerable and horrible times of her life, trying to get her kids back and asking her questions about it. Everyone I know is like, I would have hit him with the umbrella sooner. And I think that was valuable, but I understand why Britney.
Well, you bring up a point. Most of what happened to Britney Spears, if it happened to you or I, would be actionable by the police.
Exactly. Totally. 100%. And so I think that's what we were trying to show also. And yeah, no matter, I guess if Britney does feel that way, I understand, because why do you want to look at humiliating things about yourself?
Oh, as I told you, I would never want to see a documentary about myself. Well, too much truth. Well, congratulations on the win. Congratulations on your first documentary feature. I know you'll be doing more. And whether she knows it or not, and I think she does, you did Britney an enormous solid. You did an accurate, thorough journalistic presentation of what happened to her. You made a lot of people around the world feel very badly for the way they treated her, and they should feel very badly. And you sort of served us a wake-up call as to how we treat all women that are famous in the media. There is a double standard, the way the media treats women versus the way that the media treats men. And you framed that perfectly in framing Britney Spears. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you so much.